right there.
Good morning. Welcome
To the Mount Carmel Church of God, this fine, beautiful morning. We're happy that everybody could make it out today. We do have a few announcements. First and foremost, we're finally getting to that time of year where we're going to kick off the Awana program. So immediately following the church service in the multi-purpose room, we are going to have a meeting with anybody that's interested in cooking or teaching, or if you want any part of it, please come. And I strongly encourage everyone here to be involved with Awana. It's an awesome opportunity to reach out to the community. Believe it or not, there are a lot of parents that bring non-church kids. The parents don't go to church. The kids don't go to church, but it's amazing they are willing to send their kids to Awana. So I think it's an awesome program, and I encourage everybody to come out. We definitely do need a lot of help for that. And other than that, I can't think of any other announcements other than David is going to give an update in a second after I open. Oh, I stand corrected. My wife is going to share.
Good morning. Last week, I brought my grandson here to the church to play on the playground. While we were here, he wanted to go over to the church, so he walked over to the west entrance. He tried to open the door, but without help, he couldn't do it, so he gave up, and then he knocked. I was stunned. I instantly thought of the Bible verse, Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. This verse is referring to how Jesus doesn't push his way into our lives. He waits patiently for us to receive him. When I saw Samuel knocking on the door of the church because he couldn't get in, I thought the countless Awana kids who have been waiting for well over a year for the church doors to be open to them. And I thought about the kids who were recently baptized here. Several of those kids chose Christ as their Savior at Awana. We even had an adult accept Christ as her Savior while at Awana. If we don't have enough volunteers, we won't be able to feed the kids spiritual food or physical food. Mostly, we need volunteers to help with meals, lead the kids' groups, and listen to Bible verses. But we could also use cookie bakers. Maybe you could make a donation. Maybe God is knocking on the door of your heart, trying to get your attention. Please don't ignore him. You'll be missing out on a tremendous blessing. Matthew 19:14. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just humbly come before you. We just pray that your Holy Spirit will guide and direct all of us here in this church service. We just thank you for the opportunity to corporately worship you. Lord, we lift up those that are unable to be here today. We have so many that are in nursing homes, those that are in hospitals. And we also lift up, my heart goes out to the country of Afghanistan, and I just pray for all the turmoil that's going on in this world. And we just pray that we will turn to you for wisdom and guidance. And just pray these things in your son's name. Amen. All right, David.
Okay. Good morning. Last Sunday, you had the opportunity to hear Pastor Yoder, and then we had a congregational meeting, and he got a vote of 60 for him to come and one vote for him not to come. So he says, "I can't say that's not God's will." So he's planning on being here around October 1st. Now that date is not set in stone because it depends on how it works out. He has to find housing and all that other stuff, but approximately around that date. He is also telling his church this morning, where he is the associate pastor at, that he is going to be leaving. So we need to pray for him as he speaks to that church and lets them know why he is leaving. We also need to continue to pray for him as he comes here, And we're going to discontinue doing this time, that this prayer time, after this Sunday. But this Sunday, we need to be praying for him as he's made these decisions. We've made the decision, and that it will all work out, and because it's God's will. At least I feel it's God's will. We also need to pray for Jeff this morning, as he is our speaker this morning. Ron got out of the job and didn't have to do it. I thought it was Ron's turn, but, you know, he let Jeff have that turn. So we need to pray for him. And I know there's probably other things that our church needs to pray for. So is there anything else that anybody thinks we need to pray for this morning? If you do, stand up and pray for him. But I'm going to give an opportunity for anybody that would like to pray to do so this morning.
Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come into your house. I thank you, Lord, for your word and just your guidance and your protection, Lord. I thank you for who you are, for just the Alpha and the Omega, Lord, the provider and protector and guider, Lord. Most of all, for the Holy Spirit and for Christ on the cross and for his blood and covering all of our sins. Guide our hearts, Lord, and our minds. Fill us with wisdom and clarity, Lord. As we go forward, look after our pastor, protect him, guide him. Put a hedge of protection around him and his family and his fiance, Lord. Protect them as they transition into their new home here in Mount Carroll, Lord, and just fill his heart and his soul, Lord, and bless him. Bless us, Lord, as we accept him, Lord, as we accept her. Let us, Lord, hear from them with wisdom. Let us, Lord, to hear from them spiritual guidance. Most of all, Lord, let us be willing to step behind and to follow admirably. Please, Lord, look after our troops in this transition most of all. Help us to stay safe. Keep our troops safe that are overseas. Protect our city, Lord, our first responders, Lord. And most of all, help us to continually give you praise and worship. Guide our hearts and our minds, Lord, in your holy name. Amen.
Okay, are there any others?
Thank you, David. Dear Father, our hearts are overwhelmed with the grace that you have shown us, Father, with our new pastor coming. Your grace knows no bounds. Unconditional love has been extended to us over and over again. Thank you for walking among us, for making us a united people. Thank you for hearing our prayers for these last many months and moving in our behalf. You have shown us your will as we waited, as we sought you in faith. You delivered so much more than we could ask or think. Father, I ask you to anoint and bless the people that will be working in the Awana. This is such a vital thing, Father God, a vital program. I remember Libby and her beautiful life and how you ministered to her and her family through Awana. We look at it as such a simple thing, Father, but it's a tremendous thing. It's a thing that you would bless, a program that you would honor. So I pray, Father, that we will have many people step forward and offer their service in this Awana program. And Father, I pray for the American church. May we have the strength that the underground church in the Middle East is showing. the underground church in China and Afghanistan, Iran, and so many other places, Father. May we be a people who are strong in the word of the living God and walk by your Spirit, Father. Wake us up if we're not awake. Shake us, Father God, as only you can shake, so that the things that are unshakable will remain. Lord, we love you today. And thank you, Father, for all your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, are there any others? If not, I wanted to take and personally thank the search committee that worked on getting Pastor Tim here. That's Ashley and Steve Genru and Muriel and Jeff, and I'm not going to thank myself, but I thank those that I worked with because they were a great group to work with, and they worked diligently and all worked great together, and I really appreciate each and every one of them. So thank you all, you guys. And I'll close with prayer if nobody else wants to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank thee for the opportunity to come here this morning to worship in your church. We thank thee for Jeff as an elder being willing to speak to us this morning, and that we know that you will give him the message you want him to have, and you will use him in a mighty way. We continue to pray for Tim as he prepares to come here as the new pastor. And we ask, Father, that you would be with the Awana program and that they might get the volunteers that they need to be able to put this program on, because it does such a ministry for the young kids of this community. Now, guide and direct in all things. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Good morning. Stand and start our worship. Everything that has
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty, so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole God save.
Is a shadow.
Well, good morning once again. My name is Jeff Frederick. I'm one of the elders here, and it's my privilege to bring today's sermon, lesson, whatever you want to call it. We'll be studying Luke chapter 15. It's entitled The Prodigal Son because we're going to focus on the story of the prodigal son. But I also put up there Luke 15 because we're going to touch on basically most of the chapter. So, this was brought to my heart because, as you know, I've attended this church most of my life, and like the story, I once was like the prodigal son, but I also see so many here, so many families that can relate to the story. So, I found this sermon on the web, I'm not going to lie, but I've added to it and taken away from it. And so I know most of you are familiar with the story of the sermon, The Prodigal Son, but I'm just going to give you the scope of it. It's sentiment, it's message of a son's rebellion, a wasted life, and a father's love has been the source of inspiration for many lessons through the centuries. The main theme is God's attitude towards the lost, and the main lesson is God not only accepts penitent sinners, he earnestly seeks their salvation. There are many precious words in the English language, and one of them is the word home. And this very hour, there are many that are thinking of home, and such as those that are in prison. Can you imagine? And while I'm bringing this sermon to you, I want you to, and I often do this myself, put yourself in each person's shoes and think, and try and think of how they see the picture or what they're feeling. But I work in a prison. Just think of what prisoners, how they long to return home. I was in the military. What do you think the people in the military think about home? What do you think the Afghan people right now are thinking about home? One of my interpreters, thank God he was able to get out of that country, and I keep in touch with him through Facebook, and his heart's very burdened right now because he has so many family members that are stuck in that situation. Think about being in a hospital. Thank God I've never had to stay in a hospital, but what do you think of people laying in a hospital bed think of home? Or, unfortunately, we can relate to this. How many members of our church are now stuck in nursing homes this very hour? What do you think they think about home? Well, I love how scholars point this out, and I'm going to point this out. A lot of times we read something in the Bible, but we have to ask ourselves, why is this here? So how many know why Jesus taught the parable of the prodigal son. If I could have slide. We're going to read chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Now the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him, but the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So now we know why we got this parable. So along with the parable of the prodigal son, there's actually two other parables thrown in there, the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And I'll touch on those in a little bit. But first, we need to have a reminder that we need to have the same type of attitude towards the lost as God does. As God longs for and looks for and searches for and puts forth the effort for the lost, so must we. I'll say that again. As God longs for, looks for, and searches for, and puts forth effort for the lost, so must we. Jesus is, in this remarkable chapter of Luke, shows us there's three types of sinners, and hence why I threw the other parables up there. The parable of the lost sheep. The sheep is lost, but doesn't know how to get back. So you just picture a sheep stuck somewhere. It's crying out. It knows the wolves or the coyotes are going to be coming in at nighttime. Well, they're crying out, but the sheep doesn't know how to get back. And I know this sounds like a cheap insurance commercial here, but the parable of the lost coin doesn't know it's lost, it's a coin. But I ask you this, and I've felt this in my own life. Have you ever prayed, "God, show me what is wrong with me, what's separating me from you?" I have done that, and God did show me, and it was liberating when I walked away from what was separating me from God. Speaking of coins, I don't know if anybody got that telephone call last night. There's a call that came in that said it was one of those automated, like machine, computer generated calls, and it said that I won $10,000. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not that gullible, but you know, I was like, well, maybe it's true. So I'm listening, and it said, well, I could have $10,000, or I could go to Vegas to see one of those Elvis impersonators. Who wants to go see that? But I knew it was a scam when next it said, press 1 for the money or 2 for the show. And I knew then, yeah. All right, so the coin is lost, doesn't know it's lost, but the owner diligently seeked it out. The parable of the prodigal son, a little bit different. The prodigal son realized he was lost, and he knew how to get back. He started out in a good spot, but ended up in a bad situation. How many of us can relate? Now, like I said, the focus will be on the story of the prodigal son. So let's go ahead and start out in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you guide every word that I say, and may this bring you glory and honor, for I am not a preacher, but I am your servant, and may you use me. And I just pray that you help each one here open their hearts, and hopefully they will learn something and apply it to their lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, the lost soul. If we could go to the next slide. Hopefully it's Luke chapter 15, verse 11. If not, I can just look it up. Okay. While I'm looking it up, I was talking with my brother-in-law who's covering the Freeport Church of God, and he said he was looking up, you know, one of the smaller Bible books of the Bible, and he said it was a little embarrassing. He struggle to find it. Hence, if you do preach, pick Luke, you know, something common that you can easily find. Okay, now I lost my spot. Okay, Luke 11, we read, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possession with prodigal living." I guess hence the title. Okay, so we have a twofold loss here. God loses man, or in this parable, the father lost his son. And this grieves God, and it grieved the father. John 3:16 is one of the most common verses in the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That shows you right there how much God loves and grieves over the separation that we have from him when we walk away from him. The second loss is man loses God. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquity has separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear you." But God has provided a way back. Mark 16:6 talks about, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." The son was lost through self-will. James 1:13-16 talks about how God does not tempt us. It says that God can't be tempted, and nor does he tempt us, but it is by our self-will that we are tempted by our evil desires. Because of self-will, the son desired to go into a far country. And just a little background, you know, in the Jewish tradition, that alone, I don't know if saying the word sin is the right word, but it was definitely disrespectful to the father that he wanted to go away from his own countrymen. He wanted to see the world. He wanted to eat, drink, and be merry. And let's be honest, how many of us want to do that or have done that? Self-will causes many today to waste their lives on the things of this world. They focus on the flesh instead of the spiritual realm. Short terms versus long term. My analogy is, today you're leaving here, where are you going to go eat? Well, it's easy to stop at Dairy Queen and get that $6 lunch deal, you know? It's very convenient, and it tastes really good going down. But then how do you feel? Versus, oh, I don't know, saying, you know, grill some steak, or maybe if you want to even go a little healthier, grill some chicken and get some vegetables. How do you feel then? Well, one's definitely healthier for you, and one is not. Because of self-will, the son made demands of his father. In Deuteronomy 21:17, it talks about the oldest son should receive a double portion. In this situation, that means the oldest son would get two-thirds and the younger son would have got one-third. So he demanded one-third of his father's estate or his farm. And the younger son made demands of his father, and just that alone was disrespectful. But his father gave what he asked for. So we must be careful what we ask for, because God may just give it to us. God definitely is a God of free will, but there are consequences. All right, so if we move on to Luke chapter 15, verses 14 and 16. And Scott, do you have any of the slides? No? Okay. All right. 14. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. All right, there are horrible consequences to a sin. And I love this saying. It's one of those catchy cliches. A famine always follows a life of sin. A famine always follows a life of sin. And I believe that, you know, Jesus spoke these words. Every word is in the Bible on purpose. And it's amazing how the story, not only did this guy, the prodigal son, blow everything, but then came the famine. And how often does that happen in life? Things just don't, not one thing goes wrong, but several things go wrong. The son had given into his lust and had jumped full-blown into sin, and now he was reaping the consequences. This is one of the most difficult lessons to get the souls of this world to see, including myself. In Galatians, one of those tiny little books in the Bible, Galatians 6, 7, and 8 reads, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reaps corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Sin had robbed the son of his dignity, self-respect, good name, purity, good conscience, and a happy home. So, and this goes back to the Pharisees, but it goes to all of us. We all know, I just read it, what the son has lost, how he's feeling. How many of us want to judge that prodigal son in our lives when they come back? And on top of that, what good does it do when you're like pointing your fingers, "See, I told you so"? Does that do any good? Notice at this time he was seeking help in a far country instead of seeking help from his father. Today, too many are seeking help from the wrong source. Our Heavenly Father is the only true source for help. I've got a few more Bible verses here I'm going to read. In Peter, 2 Peter 1:3 reads, "As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to be glory and virtue." And then 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 reads, "All scripture," this might sound a little familiar, I believe Tim read this last week, "all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." I guess there's a reason why the Bible has been the all-time book ever written and read. This son is a valid reminder of the consequences of sin, but the story does get better. Let's jump back to Luke. Luke 15, 17 through 20 reads, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?'" Did he say, "Hey, it's not my fault. I need to go back, and Dad needs to give me more money"? Nope. He said, "I will arise, and I'll go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father." No one will ever repent until he comes to himself. Reflection is needed on our part. 2 Corinthians 13:5 reads, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in faith. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified?" That kind of goes back to the parable of the lost coin. Test yourself. It's kind of like, you know, like the story of the lost coin. You know, just ask God, pray to go to God and pray, asking him to show you what you are lacking. We must honestly look at ourselves. James chapter 1, 22 through 25. I'm not going to read it, but I'll paraphrase it. It's a story about how the man looked in the mirror and he walked away and he forgot what he looked like. And then it goes on to say it's like reading the Bible but not doing it. You need to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word. Well, the son, he remembered home and what he had left. He admitted that he had sinned. Can we agree the three hardest things and the hardest words to say in the English language is, "I have sinned," or "I am wrong"? I used to think that my sin was justified because other people around me had sinned, so, hey, they sinned, I can sin, it equals out, right? No, that's not how it works. We can't help ourselves until we admit we have a need. Obviously, the son knew he had a need. He realized his unworthiness. This helped him realize the need for his father. In other words, this will help us realize the need for our heavenly father. Matthew 5:3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The son took action. Simply thinking about it will not get the job done. It's probably one of the most common problems in society. We like to talk about it, but how much do we actually take action, do something about it? Matthew 3:8 reads, "Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance." That's a tough one right there. This son is a wonderful reminder that we can come back to God. And like I said, the story does get better. Luke 15, 20 through 24 reads, "And he rose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him." When he was a great ways off. Do you think the father was waiting and looking for him? Do we individually and as a church, do we wait and look? Do we pray for those that are lost, that have left the church? I hope we do. And I hope we are waiting and looking for him. So his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Bring our best robe, put it on him, put on a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf. here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. We can be assured that our Heavenly Father will do the same. God is a God of compassion. God continually looks for his children to come home. He is hurt by the separation. Romans 5, 8, and 9 talks about how Christ died while we were still sinners. He didn't die for the good guys. He died for the sinners. God forgives when we repent. The slate is wiped clean. We are not on probation. We are placed where we were left. Now, I do have to say, there are the one-third of the farm did not reappear. There are, you know, human consequences for our actions, but spiritually speaking, we are forgiven by God. This son is a beautiful reminder that God forgives the penitent. There are many valuable lessons to be learned from this parable, and I've added some of my own. God seeks and receives sinners. Man is responsible for his lost condition. Lost men and women can come to God if they so desire. Separation from God brings suffering versus a relationship with him brings countless blessings. Life apart from God is a waste. Life with God brings a satisfied life and home. We must be poor in spirit to return to God. A good family can have children that go astray. Material things or things we lust after will blind us. And foolish decisions while we are young or unwise, because even us old people make unwise decisions, can and will cause sorrows and troubles. And the allurement of the world will cause many to be lost. But last but not least, there are many hog pens in this life we need to avoid. So in closing, I will say again, God not only accepts those that seek his forgiveness, he earnestly seeks out our salvation. So let's go ahead and close in prayer, and then we'll have our final song. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just humbly ask that we as a church and individually may not judge others or hold anyone from returning. May you open our eyes, Lord, to our own condition. And I just pray that when the sinners do return, as we pray and look for our sons and daughters, our brothers and sisters in Christ, when they do return, may we have a time of partying and rejoicing. And last but not least, may you guard us from the hog pens of life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
Can we stand and sing our last
Just a reminder, we're having the meeting for anybody that wants to help with Awana in the conference room, and I just pray that you go and have a blessed week and remember that God loves you. Thank you.